Meeting come to order, please. This is the Legislative Council meeting of February 10th, 2015, and thank you for being here. Ms. Marnie, would you call the roll?
Senator Meyer.
Here.
Senator Coghill.
Here.
Senator Hoffman.
Here.
Senator Huggins.
Here.
Senator McKinnon.
Here.
Senator Machicki. Senator McGuire. Representative Chenault.
Present.
Representative Hawker.
Here.
Representative Johnson. Representative Keto.
Here.
Representative Newman.
Here.
Representative Reinbold.
Here.
Representative Thompson. Vice Chair Heron.
Here.
Chair Stevens.
Here.
12 members present.
12 present. Thank you all for being here. We have before you the agenda for tonight's meeting. Any changes or discussion anyone would care to place before us at this time? If not, Representative Heron.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that Legislative Council approve the agenda as given to us.
Thank you. Without objection, so ordered. Move on to the approval of the minutes. You also have before you any changes or corrections at this time? Representative Heron.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that Legislative Council approve the minutes of the January 27, 2015 meeting as presented.
Thank you. If no objection, so ordered. And just for the record, Representative Thompson, Senator Machicki have always just arrived. Thank you for being here as well. Moving on to item number four, ratification of charitable events. As you know, you've given the chairman the ability to sanction those and then bring it back to you at the next meeting. We've checked to make sure that all of these are 501c3 organizations, and they are the 15th Annual Thanksgiving in March, the 26th Annual Farringham Kelly Classic Charity Putting Tournament, the 2015 Sham Jam, and the Juno Arts and Culture Center Wine Tasting. Any questions or discussion to come before us at this point? Representative Heron.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that Legislative Council ratify the chair's sanctioning of the following charitable events per AS24.60.080A2B: 15th Annual Thanksgiving in March, 26th Annual Farringham Kelly Classic Charity Putting Tournament, 2015 Sham Jam, Juno Arts and Culture Center Wine Tasting.
Thank you. Is there an objection? If not, so ordered. Moving on to item number five, it's other committee business, and I want to talk briefly about our fiscal year 16 proposed legislative budget. Ms. Marnie is here to go into any details that you may care to, but basically this is a maintenance level budget, and we'll go on here to the finance committees. This does not include all legislative areas, of course. The exceptions are legislative audit, legislative finance, LB&A committee expenses. They are separate, so that's just the rest of it here. And those will be submitted to legislative finance by those organizations. The budget basically shows a decrease of $93,600 from the governor's fiscal year 16 budget. The main items that you'll find here are really one decrease and two increases. The decrease is in council and subcommittees, $179,000. That is for funds that were deleted for the Arctic Policy Commission, which completed its work, turned in its report, and so that's $179,000 decrease. The first increase is $57,000, and that's for the Office of Victims' Rights. It has to do with the salary of the director. For several years, the budget included money to cover a range 26A for the legislative director. We passed legislation last year that changed her salary to 26J, and the Office of Victims' Rights has been absorbing that underfunding for several years, but reached a point where they really can no longer do that. So that's what that increase is for, $57,000 for the salary of the director, which we approved earlier. And in that also is $5,000 increase for the case management system. The second increase is $28,800, and that's for the Office of the Ombudsman for Personal Services. All positions are filled, and they've absorbed increases in costs for the last several years. If flat funding continues, a position will need to be deleted. Just note that their caseload has increased 64% since 2010. There are also miscellaneous transfers within individual components, and they are at a net zero. So this is, again, a maintenance-level budget going on to the finance committees, showing a decrease of $93,600. Any questions or comments at this point?
Mr. President?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm looking through the pages here that give us a little more detail on the proposed budget, but what is the overall percent decrease? I think you said the
$93,600.
Yeah, but is that like a 1% decrease on the current budget? Do we have that?
Can you answer it?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Meyer, it's a 0.1%, I believe, is what it is, but that is just for the components that are in this Legislative Council budget.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that. Could you repeat? I couldn't hear.
I'm sorry. Through the chair, Senator Huggins, it is a 0.1% decrease for these components that are before you, but that's not the entire legislature's budget.
So just to make sure that folks understand, Senator Huggins, Senator Meyer, this does not include the budget for finance committees. It does not include LBNA, and it does not include legislative audit. Those are separately sent to finance.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, Mr. Chairman. But I think the governor's reduced his budget, I believe he said, by 10 or 11%. And I think that should be a target that we should try to reach. And granted, this is one segment of our total legislative budget, but I think, well, this will go on to finance, and you guys are going to work it hard, I'm sure. But I just don't want people to think that 1% reduction is going to be satisfactory, because we're all going to have to make some serious reductions in all of our budgets.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think that's our understanding. We know that's going to happen. We know it's going to go to finance, and a very serious look will be taken. We're prepared to offer lots of options, whatever the finance wants to consider. Clearly, the main option is probably going to be staff. Yes, Senator Huggins.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Office of Victims' Rights, we're just passing this as information. We're not passing it as an item in the budget. Is that accurate, going to finance?
Well, it's my understanding, I'll ask Ms. Marty to comment on this, but we have increased her salary. It was increased by the legislature. So she is now at a 26J, and we've only funded it at a 26A. Ms. Marty?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Huggins, that is correct. This is a proposed budget, but this is not what the final numbers will be. That is subject to the House and Senate Finance Committees and the legislature as a whole. So this is kind of notifying the legislature that this is where it looks like, we need to look at increasing where these small budgets are, but that is subject to what the members decide. So I think passing this budget on is not really setting your approval, because you might look at reducing in different areas, but it is just letting you know what our costs are going to be, our rent increases, our CPI increases, just things like that.
So this is informational, and I'm just making sure, or I want to understand that we're not binding ourselves, but this is right where we would be if we accepted the document. We're not voting on this is the final resolution for victims' rights. I'm not picking on victims' rights. Just have to be the first one. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Huggins. Further questions? Senator Machiki. Oh, and I'm sorry, let me point out, Representative Johnson has joined us. Thank you. Senator Machiki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I realize this budget is a $93,500 decrease from the governor's budget. How much of an increase is it from the FY15 management plan? Do you know that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Machiki, the bulk of the increase from our FY15 management plan to our request is $1.1 million for the 2.5% cost of living increase that would be effective July 1 that the executive branch and judicial branch will be getting. It also reflects the $179,000 decrease to council and subcommittees, and we're also lowering our revenue in administrative services and also in session expenses because we're not realizing those receipts. So we're decreasing that. So there's a few other, and then the increase that we talked about for OVR and ombudsman, that makes up and it's on these spreadsheets that you did get in from Senator Stevens. It shows that $1,287,600, and that is the FY15 management plan to our Ledge Council request that's before you.
Thank you.
Yes, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, President. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I don't mean to dominate things here, but I see it, there's an increase for the NCS dues. Can you tell me how much our dues are and what would happen if we didn't pay the increase? I mean, they're not going to kick us out, are they?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Meyer, no. There's many states that because of budget constraints sometimes don't fully pay their dues. Alaska's done a very good job of paying their dues. But the admin services budget for many years has absorbed these increases, and there is an increase there. So I think in the last couple of years it's been about almost $16,000. But sometimes the dues go from, I think one of the organizations, it went from 32 to 50, something like that. So it's about $310,000, I believe, are our total dues, and that is in admin services, and it's listed on page 17 of the detailed budget.
Okay, and it is, so you say 300 some thousand. Right. Is that for all the organizations, or is that just NCSL?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Meyer, it's $89,200 for CSG, $119,700 for NCSL, $38.4 for Energy Council, Pacific Fisheries Legislative Task Force is $7.5, Western Legislative Forestry Task Force is $5.5, PENWAR is $50,000.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Further questions or comments? Again, we're sending this on to finance. The understanding and knowledge is certainly that we're looking very, very carefully at many of these issues, and that there will have to be some decreases. So, Representative Heron.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Chairman, I move that Legislative Council per AS 24.20.130 approve the FY16 Legislative Council proposed budget and transmit it to the House and Senate Finance Committees for their review and action.
Thank you. Is there any objection? If not, so ordered. Moving on to the amendment to the 2015 Manual of Legislative Drafting, Speaker Chenault.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, if I may, I would like my staff, Tom Wright, to come forward. Would you like for me to make a motion?
Why don't you make the motion, yeah.
You'd like a motion, Mr. Chairman. At this time, I would move that Ledge Council Committee amend the 2015 Manual of Legislative Drafting as proposed in Amendment Number 1 to remove the authority for legislators to pre-file as a joint prime sponsors from the date of this motion forward, and to direct the Legal Services Division to make conforming amendments to other references to joint prime sponsorship of pre-filed bills contained in the 2015 Manual of Legislative Drafting prior to the publication of the 2017 Manual of Legislative Drafting.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Wright.
Mr. President,
yes.
Mr. Chairman, I'll object so that we can have the discussion.
Thank you. Object for discussion, Mr. Wright.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Tom Wright, staff to Speaker Chenault. I was waiting for that objection before I said anything because otherwise I wouldn't have to say anything.
Well, usually you get a lot of objections, we understand.
Pretty objectionable. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's a number of issues, as are noted in the memo from Doug Gardner, dated February 2nd, 2015, about the co-prime policy that was adopted by Ledge Council in 1993. A number of questions arise, but really haven't been discussed thus far, and I can get into each of those questions if you've not reviewed the legal memo, but I'll go over them rather quickly. Co-prime sponsors have the same rights as a prime sponsor. And the terminology, I use co-prime, it's technically joint prime, so please don't be confused by my terminology. I'll probably be intermixing those as we go along. Some of the rights a co-prime sponsor can ask for a bill withdrawal, they can request a CS, they have equal ownership of a bill or resolution. Also not addressed in the drafting manual are final approval by the sponsor, the 10-bill limitation, or the sponsor deadlines. Uniform Rule 36 is out of sync with the joint prime section of the drafting manual. Ledge Legal has adopted, by interpreting Uniform Rule 36 to include co-prime sponsorships, by deferring to the original sponsor for the order that co-primes are to appear on a bill of resolution, also requiring permission from each joint prime sponsor for the addition of a name, also requiring the approval of the original sponsor for any changes prior to pre-filing, but then they have to provide all the joint prime sponsors with the draft versions of a bill and any legal memos. As the memo notes, it does take staff time to coordinate, and it's not technically sanctioned by any rule. No rule in 37A, Uniform Rule 37A for co-prime. There's no guidance on how a co-prime is to be treated with regard to preparing a fiscal note or distribution. And again, Uniform Rule 36 doesn't address co-primes. Quite frankly, a joint prime sponsorship is really a glorified co-sponsor. Most occasions, and I do know there are some occasions where the joint sponsors have worked together on a bill and worked very closely, but most of the work on most of the legislation is done by the original sponsor. There are some concerns that have been expressed from our clerk's office perspective. I didn't get to the Senate Secretary, but I'm sure that they deal with the same thing. Joint prime sponsorship is a cumbersome task for the clerk's office since additional joint prime sponsorship has been allowed after the release of pre-files. It requires a clerk to track the number of bills a member is joint sponsoring due to the 10-bill limitation. Creates confusion over the differences between a joint prime and a co-sponsor, especially for new representatives and staff. It increases the time to prepare bills for printing. Members have pulled a pre-filed bill if they met their limit and would prefer to be a joint prime on a different pre-filed bill. And that presents a status problem for the bill history due to the fact that the bills have already been numbered and are public. It's also inferred for co-sponsorship of a bill or resolution that unless we've heard otherwise from the sponsor, it's okay to be added as a co-sponsor. Joint prime sponsors have to approve each additional joint prime sponsorship, which can be a difficult task locating the sponsors for their signature in a timely manner. And those are some of the concerns that have been brought to us regarding the joint prime sponsorship, and that's why the speaker is proposing that we adopt the amendment for the drafting manual.
Thank you, Mr. Wright. Is there discussion or comment on the amendment in front of us? Encourage any legislator to speak to this should they want to. Seeing and hearing none.
Mr. Chairman, since I'm the one that objected, actually I have no objection. I just wanted to hear the list of things because there's still some question in my mind on to some of the value of a couple of people working together, which I've done in the past. So with that, doing the drafting manual this way, I have no objection, so I'll remove mine.
Thank you, Senator Cargill. Further discussion? If not, we'll move on to a roll call.
Senator Meyer.
Yes.
Senator Coghill.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman.
Yes.
Senator Huggins.
Yes.
Senator McKinnon.
Yes.
Senator Machuki.
Yes.
Representative Chenault.
Yes.
Representative Hawker.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Keto.
Yes.
Representative Newman.
Yes.
Representative Reingold.
Yes.
Vice Chair Heron.
Yes.
Chair Stevens.
Yes.
14 yeas, no nays.
Thank you. The motion passes unanimously. Before we adjourn, I just want to remind you that we are still looking for members of this body to serve on as volunteers on the security, the office allowance, and the IT subcommittees. We're looking for volunteers, but should that not occur, we'll make appointments. I hope you'll come forward if you're interested in any of those. Let myself know, our Katrina, and we'll appoint those members and like to have them up and running by the end of the week. If there's nothing further coming for us, we're